But I think it's time now that we passed on to another of the poisons, another of the passions, the fourth one, which is conceit. Sometimes translated as pride. I think conceit is better. After all, we all know about this, and I need not say very much about it. Conceit, we may say, is one's experience of oneself as separate, not only separate but isolated, not only isolated but superior to other people. And the meditation, or the antidote for this poison of conceit, is meditation on the six elements. Now, what are the six elements? Earth, water, fire, air, ether or space, akasha in Sanskrit, and consciousness. And these are arranged in increasing order of subtlety. They're also represented symbolically by various geometrical forms which build up into the stupa. That is to say, earth is represented by a cube, which is the base of the stupa, water by a sphere, which comes on top of the cube, and then fire by a cone on top of the sphere, air by an inverted ball, or rather a ball like this, representing the inverted firmament, then ether, represented by a flame in that ball, and consciousness represented by the space in which the whole thing stands. So this is the stupa, which has a great symbolical significance. Each element representing one or another of the six physical elements, and arranged, as I've said, in an order of increasing subtlety, with the grossest at the bottom, the subtlest at the top. Now, how does one do this meditation? There's not much time to tell you about it, but let me just briefly describe it. First of all, one meditates upon earth. How does one do that? One reflects that in my own physical body there is the element of earth. The solid element. There's flesh, there's bone, and so on. All this represents the element earth. And where does this come from? This element earth in me comes from the earth element in the universe, from the solid matter in the universe. And when I die, what's going to happen? This is going to go back. The physical body, the solid parts of the physical body, are going to crumble, are going to dissolve, are going to go back to earth, earth to earth, dust to dust. And one thinks and reflects in this way. The meditation is more elaborate than this, but this is just the outline. And then one takes up the watery element in one's physical body. One thinks, in me, well, there is blood, there are tears, sweat, and so on. This is the watery element. And where does this watery element in me come from? It's not my own. It doesn't really belong to me. It came from the water around. It came from the rain. It came from the seas. It came from the streams and the lakes and the rivers. And one day I'll have to render it back. One day the liquid element in me will flow back into the liquid element in the universe. And then one meditates upon the element of fire, still more subtle, that there is in me heat, there is warmth. Where does this come from? What is the great source of heat for the whole solar system? It's the sun. Without the sun, the whole solar system would be cold, would be dark. So the warmth in me, the heat in me, comes from that source. And when I die, what happens? Heat is one of the last things to depart from the physical body. As you die, heat withdraws from the feet, from the lower parts of the body, from the lower limbs, until in the end there's just a little hot spot at the top of the head. When that disappears, then you are dead. The heat element in your physical body has returned to the heat element, the reservoir of heat, warmth, light in the universe. So this is how one meditates on the element of fire. One thinks that fire also, the fire element in me, doesn't belong to me. I borrowed it for a while. I've got to render it back in due course. And then one thinks of air. What is the air element in me? It's the air in my lungs. I'm taking it in and giving it out, giving it back every instant. It doesn't really belong to me. I think that all this is me, this solid part, this watery part, this fiery part, this vaporous part. I think that this is me, but it isn't really. I've only borrowed it. I've got it for a few years or a few months or a few instances in the case of the breath. I take it, I borrow it, and I give it back. And one day I'm going to breathe in and I'm going to breathe out and I'm not going to breathe in again. I will have finally given back my breath, I'll be dead. It won't belong to me then, so it doesn't really belong to me now. And then one meditates upon ether or space. One reflects that one's physical body as it stands occupies a certain space. This is the space I occupy. You identify yourself with it. But when the physical body disintegrates, what becomes of that space that you occupy? It merges in the vast space around. It merges in universal space. And it disappears. And then what about consciousness? You think, well, at present part of your consciousness depends upon the eye. Eye consciousness, part of on the ear, ear consciousness. But when there's no eye, when there's no ear, there's no physical body, where will that consciousness be? Or there may be a certain consciousness bound up with a physical brain. When that physical brain no longer exists, where will that consciousness be? When your present individuality, as you know it, as you experience it, ceases to exist, where will the consciousness associated with that individuality be? And in this way you withdraw your consciousness, you withdraw your mind, as it were, from the material, from the lower mental, from these different lower levels of consciousness. You go higher and higher, and you realize that not just at the time of physical death, because it doesn't happen then, or if it does happen, it happens just for an instant, but at the time as you have spiritual death, which is something much higher, something more important, then the individual consciousness, as it were, dies into the universal consciousness, and in a sense realizes its everlasting identity with that universal consciousness. As the Tibetans say, the sunlight, S-O-N, sunlight, returns to and merges in the mother light. And in this way one meditates upon consciousness. This is again a very, very brief summary indeed, but it will give you perhaps some idea of how one meditates upon the six elements of earth, water, fire, air, ether, and consciousness. And in this way dissolves the idea that one is something individual. One dissolves the poison, or provides the antidote to the poison of conceit. One merges, one may say, the individual in the universal. One merges the unenlightened in the enlightened. One becomes enlightened. This is a very important practice indeed, as you've probably already understood, even those who haven't encountered it before. And it is symbolized very well by this stupa, consisting of these five geometrical forms superimposed one upon another. There are variants of the practice. One can visualize a square, one can visualize a sphere, and so on, of different colors. The cube or square will be yellow, sphere will be white or blue, and so on. In this way one can supplement the practice and make it more easy, possibly more congenial. So this is the antidote for conceit, resolving or dissolving one's sense of individual identity in the narrow sense.